man, it's great to have everyone back after a lively Simchas Torah. Well, Moshe, I really hope you were able to get in there. And I saw you dancing around there in the synagogue, having a great time.
Yeah, a few L'chaims too. What do you know?
Not enough, though. We got to keep that Simcha taking us all the way through the new year.
Absolutely.
That's it. I'm Hirsch DeLynn, by the way. We got Moshe Bakar with us. And the end of a Torah cycle, and more importantly, the beginning of another annual cycle of Torah readings. We begin again right from where it says, in the beginning. And do you know why the Torah starts that way, rather than giving us all the laws to serve God? God's telling us right from the start that He created the world, and therefore owns the world, and can apportion the land any way He sees fit. He gave the land of Israel to the Jews, even though it's a tiny parcel, and everyone else in the rest of the wide world is always trying to take that tiny piece away from the Jews. Isn't it amazing? Look at all the massive land area controlled by the Arabs. And you'd think they got the oil and most of the land of the world, but all they focus on is trying to take that little sliver of land along the Mediterranean coast. I think maybe there'd be something special about that land? You betcha. It's called, in Hebrew, Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land. So keep getting ready for Shabbos, and we here at the Jewish Experience will be right there with you, getting you in the mood for some great new beginnings right here. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, Chef Chaim Reisner, and Musical Moish are gearing up to make this Shabbos Brachis the best ever. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And this week's program is sponsored in part by Mr. and Mrs. Mitch Mazlik and Shui's Bar Mitzvah, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, and by Artistic Photography when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. By the way, don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 6.03 p.m. Just wait till next week when it gets down to about 4.55. So, Moish?
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's going to get really early.
Well, I don't know about you, Hirsch, but I've still got a hangover from that Simchas Torah thingy.
I think we ran out of some stuff too soon there, but it was great. I hope everybody really was able to get out and enjoy it, because Simchas Torah is an incredibly happy time.
Well, we've got the new year going, and I'd like to take this opportunity to wish our listeners a happy and sweet new year.
Yep.
So let's get started with something brand new for the new year. Here's Yossi Goldstein, hot off the press. Chedvas Hashem, because you're all tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
Kol ha'oretz, kol ha'oretz, shel ha'kodesh, ha'kodesh Baruch Hu.
Was Yossi Goldstein and Chedvus Hashem, brand spanking new. I hope you like that one.
And Moishe says, I have to tell you, I like that song. I really like it.
Good.
I like it, Moishe.
You do?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it, too.
Okay. And bringing us a little bit back to earth, here's Rabbi Goldwasser to teach us that new beginnings are always possible. Rabbi?
It is well known what our holy rabbi said regarding Shabbos Bereishis. The Shabbos when the first portion of the Torah is read. This Shabbos has a relationship with and influences the conduct of the entire year. The way one sets himself on this Shabbos influences his behavior during the year that follows. The obvious question here is, why was the statement made only in connection with Shabbos Bereishis? Doesn't the Shabbos when we read about the giving of the Torah, as well as the other Torah portions, which contain commandments that are not repeated elsewhere in the Torah, also have a connection with the entire year? Why then do we make an exception here and say that it is specifically Shabbos Bereishis which concerns the conduct for the entire year? The concept that Hashem created the heavens and the earth from absolute nothingness forces us to conclude that creation is a constant process going on every minute and every fraction of a minute. This means that everything that came into being during the 6 days of creation, that was originally absolute nothingness, is constantly being recreated every moment. We can now go on and explain why specifically Shabbos Bereishis relates to the entire year more than all of the other Shabbosim and Torah portions. Remembering the above-mentioned concept concerning the true existence of the creation, that it is the godly force in creation which gives it its existence, is the basic principle which gives us the strength to serve Hashem throughout the entire year. When a person is faced with a problem of making his material occupation into a vessel for godliness, he may imagine that because of this secular, natural order of things, it is going to be difficult or even impossible to serve Hashem under such conditions. When he remembers, however, that the word of Hashem is constantly recreating the world, he will realize that in truth, the world has no true existence of its own at all. In fact, the true and real existence of the entire world is the godly force that creates it. When a person is faced with a difficulty, with a challenge, when he remembers that at this very moment, Hashem is creating him and creating the situation with all of its details, the situation that he is presently in, he will surely understand that he is most capable of dealing with the situation, and nothing at all will be able to stand in his way in his service to Hashem.
Can a moderate leadership emerge in a post-Arafat Palestinian society where children are recruited to be suicide bombers? Will the U.S. play a greater role in the quest for peace in the Middle East? How are American Jews and the issues we care about affected by Bush's presidency? What do Larry David, Natalie Portman, Jon Stewart, and Madonna all have in common? Who makes the best kosher hot dogs? Read the foreword and find out. Keep up with tradition and what's new and changing. Enjoy award-winning reviews and arts coverage, exclusive reporting on stories found nowhere else, provocative editorials, and news analysis on issues affecting all of us. More than ever, we need to stay in touch. And there's no better way than reading the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try it for 4 weeks free. You'll then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free. Call now for the Forward.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. Tell them you heard it here on The Jewish Experience. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's artistic photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. And now, back to the music with Moshe Papar.
Was Yol Sharabi and Shmor Na'aleinu, watch over us.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, now to show that our feet are still tapping and dancing from Simchas Torah, here's a little ay-ay-ay-ay.
Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay
Well, it looks like everybody's still having a good time over there, even though Simchas Torah is history. Hey, speaking of history, it's time to pause for a moment in Jewish history. Here's with the author of A Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The evolution of the prayer book, the Siddur, is a fascinating story. The Torah commands one to pray, but prescribes no text. For over 1,000 years, Jewish men and women fulfilled this mitzvah by composing their own prayers. With the destruction of the first temple, however, the rabbis realized that people were no longer on the spiritual level to choose their own prayers. Therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the rabbis of the Great Assembly, who lived about 2,400 years ago, wrote a prescribed order of prayers for everyone to recite, mainly the Shmona Esrei prayers for weekdays and special days, and a number of other blessings. The prayer service as enacted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola is relatively short. Not being satisfied with what was the bare minimum, many Jews felt that the rite should be enlarged, an act permitted in certain areas of the service. In addition, as the long exile dragged on, people desired a lengthier prayer service with which to beseech God for personal and national salvation. At that time, individual chazanim, prayer leaders, as well as great scholars, composed original prayers, some of which became accepted by the nation and assumed the status of custom, later becoming codified into law. The most famous of these composers was Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, the son of the Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, according to tradition. Writing extremely intricate compositions, Rabbi Elazar had a total command of Hebrew and Torah, and both are required to understand the prayers. Many of his pieces still exist, especially in the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and special Sabbath and festival, Machzorim. In addition, much of the Slichos, Kinos, and Hoshanos services are also based on Rabbi Elazar HaKalir's work. Indeed, during Gaonic times, this genre of synagogue liturgy became extremely popular, and the great burst of creativity in poetic prayer lasted hundreds of years. These prayers, known as piyutim, or liturgical poems, rhymed and were arranged according to the alephbeis, the Hebrew alphabet. Authors also encoded their names into the text of their compositions. However, there was criticism about adding these prayers for three reasons. First, many piyutim were written to be said at points in the service where interruptions are normally forbidden, such as during the benedictions of Yotzer Or and during the Chazan's repetition of the Amidah. Second, some scholars felt that a number of words in the piyutim, particularly those of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, were linguistic flights of fancy which did not exist in Hebrew. Third, piyutim addressed to angels could mislead people into believing that these angels should be worshipped in their own right, which is idolatry. Regardless of the concerns and criticisms, however, piyutim became accepted by general consensus and now form a major portion of the Siddur, enriching Jewish prayer services immeasurably.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Shanker with Israel National News.
Security up in the wake of this past week's suicide bombing in the northern Israeli city of Hadera by Islamic Jihad and the elimination of a number of Islamic Jihad terrorists. Crossings from the PLO-assigned areas into other parts of Israel are closed to Arab traffic except for humanitarian needs, and forces have been positioned around the northern Gaza Strip where rockets have been launched at Israeli targets. Secretary General Kofi Annan of the United Nations says he plans to visit Iran in the next few weeks and put the Middle East peace process and the right of all states to live in peace and security within secure borders at the top of his agenda. Annan's announcement comes in the wake of the call by Iran's president to wipe Israel off the map. In a letter to the UN Security Council's president, Israeli Ambassador Danny Gillerman says no country that calls for violence and destruction should be allowed membership in the world body. Gillerman says Israel does not expect that the UN will respect the request for Iran to be expelled. Attorney General Menachem Mazuz will look into the claims of public defender Inbal Rubinstein that the police and courts were much more severe than the law allows in dealing with minors arrested during Israel's expulsion of Jews from the Gaza Strip. The family of 16-year-old Sfiyah Sarayel is urging the public to attend a rally outside the Kfar Saba courthouse Monday morning at 8 o'clock, the next date of legal proceedings in connection with her involvement in protests following the expulsion. Sfiyah has been held without bail in an Israeli women's prison for 60 days, and the judge in the case has ordered her to be sent for psychiatric evaluation because of her refusal to recognize the secular legal system and insistence on being tried in a Torah court. The Sarayel family has prepared picket signs reading, "If it is crazy to be Jewish and prefer Jewish law, then lock us all up in mental institutions." One can sign an online petition to President Moshe Katsav to intervene on Sfiyah's behalf by going to www.voiceofjudea.com and click on the word petition. The Jews expelled from the Gaza Strip and northern Shomron are not only facing an uncertain housing situation, they are facing dropping temperatures and no access to winter clothing in the storage containers provided by the government at the time of the expulsion. Project Warm Up has acquired especially designed coats from China and is asking for the public's help in organizing and distributing them over the next 2 weeks. Roni of Project Warm Up explains the access problem.
They aren't allowed access to their containers because if they open up their container within this six-month period from when it was closed off, they will lose insurance rights on it. So a lot of people are concerned because they have no idea what state their possessions are going to be in within 6 months. Problem number two, that I spoke to another family, and she said that she just had to get clothing for her children. She's in Jerusalem. She has six children, and she just feels extremely helpless to be able to clothe them. She went to her container, and she said that the way that they were stacked and arranged, you have the door of one container facing another door, so you don't have access to it because you can't open the door to get into the container. Other people who had access discovered that when they packed things, and everyone remembers the pandemonium that surrounded this whole evacuation and storage issue, people put their boxes with their possessions in the back of these containers and their heavy furniture in the front of the containers, so there isn't any way that they can access the boxes even if they wanted to.
Roni says project organizers are hoping to start the sorting on Sunday once the coats clear the port. They're also looking for donations to pay for the coats, recommending 36 or twice the value of chai, the Hebrew word for life, in one's local currency. Roni says people can send donations to Project Warm Up at Post Office Box 8431, Jerusalem 91084. For more information about volunteering, one can call Roni in Israel at 054-635-0223 on Sunday. One can also email Roni at ronijoy@gmail.com. With the end of daylight savings time in the United States Sunday morning, the difference between Eastern time and Israel time returns to 7 hours. Join us for weekend edition starting at 3 p.m. Israel time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday morning on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Vavra, the 26th day of Tishrei on the Jewish calendar, and the forecast from the Israel National Radio Weather Center, partly cloudy with a drop in temperatures on Friday and Shabbat, with winds getting stronger and rain starting in the north Saturday night, spreading to central Israel on Sunday, accompanied by thunder before retreating to the north on Monday. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We'd like to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. And the Mazel Tov for this week, Sid and Jerry Silverman on the birth of a granddaughter. Dr. Sylvan and Sally Sachs on the birth of a grandson. Rabbi and Mrs. Yosef Derin on the birth of a grandson. Rabbi and Mrs. Shmuel Weinstein on the birth of a son. I guess there's a Sholem Zucher tonight. Mr. and Mrs. Yisrael Dolnikov on the birth of a daughter. And finally, Mr. and Mrs. Chesikoff on the birth of a granddaughter. And let's take a look at some events around the community this week. An important flu clinic will be held Sunday, October 30th at Shari Torah Synagogue. Shots will be given from 9 a.m. till noon, and Wednesday, November 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. The Health Fair and Blood Drive, October 30th, 8:30 to 1:30 p.m. Call Beth Shalom at 412-421-2288. The Israel Chamber Orchestra is performing at Heinz Hall, 8 p.m., Tuesday, November 1st. It's a one-night-only exclusive Pittsburgh appearance. Mr. Chuck Perlow will receive the Shalom Award at a dessert reception. Call the Carlo for more information, 412-420-0220. Rabbi Aidan Steinsaltz, one of the world's foremost Jewish thinkers and scholars, will be in Pittsburgh for an evening of learning and inspiration on Tuesday, November 15th at Lubavitch Center, 2100 Whiteman Street. Following the lecture, Rabbi Steinsaltz will be signing his newest book, Learning from the Tanya. The meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 6:03 p.m. And now from one of our special sponsors this week, a very special Mazel Tov. Proud parents Mimi and Mitch Maislich have a bar mitzvah this week of their son Shui.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, and it's happening tomorrow on Shabbos.
Wow.
Both grandparents from both sides will be there. You know how unusual that is? I mean, both grandparents are going to be there. That's unbelievable. He's been studying since January with Rabbi Eli Rothman. And he loves baseball. And you know what? He's going to be getting the Most Valuable Player Award on Sunday.
Sounds like a nice boy chick.
It's a great weekend. He's going to have a bar mitzvah. Then he's going to receive this MVP award. And he volunteers at the kosher pantry. He helps his father, Mitch, on citizens patrol duty. He helps his brother with homework. And he even learns Mishnah Brua. So Shui requested that we play a Matis Yahu song just for him from the Shake Off the Dust album. Do you know what that song's going to be?
Matis Yahu. I think we have that in our selections. Okay, and this one will be a special one for little Shui. Actually, not so little. Nearly bar mitzvah.
He's a grown up. He's a bar mitzvah. He's a man.
Well, let's look here. One, no, not this one. Here it is. Matis Yahu. Let's go.
You fill my appetite to give myself to you, cause you treat me right. I put my trust in the world and the world gets tight. Shift my trust to you, it's like a crystal clear night. Expand in all directions, bless them sections to unite. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, light my way, light up my life. And these days will wait, no longer nights. I'm reaching for my God like skyscrapers in the night. I see that know it's hard inside is empty. God is fresh like a knife, internalized. Torah of vibes, bound to be alright. I see that whirring the praise from below to above. In the sky, got wings like a dove. We're soaring to the heavens with the angels falling love. With the glory of our sun, it's like a dove. I see the world in the praise from below to above. Take flight in the sky, got wings like a dove. We're soaring to Shemayim where the angels falling love. With the glory of our sun, it's like a glove. Shem rules the world, Israel is his wife. Love you, yes, my God, with all my heart, my soul, and my might. And when I feel you by my side, yes, I'm flying like a kite. When I feel you by my side, yes, I'm soaring like a kite. Open up my eyes and give me sight. Super energizing every day you give me life. I see the ways of the world intoxifying on pride. Young man, don't you know drugs and purify your mind? When Israel left me, trying four gifts got left behind. If you got no water, how you gonna survive? Roots lead you till the wellspring so you could stay alive. Pharaoh claimed to be a god and claimed to make the Nile. Crocodile could smile and show his teeth. You could see beauty shines externally. That's the story of Greece, but inside America bleeds. Israel, won't you get up from your knees? It just lies in disguise for us truth. Won't you please realize? Giving to the humble one on Mount Sinai. Wearing the praise from below to above. Take flight in the sky, got wings like a dove. We're soaring to the heavens with the angels calling love. With the glory of our son, it's like a dove. I see the world in the praise from below to above. Take flight in the sky, got wings like a dove. We're soaring to Shemayim where the angels fall in love. With the glory of our son, it's like a dove. of dust. It's just us, it's not two, it's just one. One, the middle road called truth, Torah. Yes, you soothe my brain, booze. Open up the rules with knowledge of God and move up. In the rousing from below till the secrets start to ooze. Don't snooze, it's pure life. The Most High wants us alive. What's the proof? We got life. Combined philosophy, that's the deepest well springing. And knowledge of God while you're gaining money. Fill up yourself with the light of His majesty. In our world of separation, that's the only way to be. It's time we leave, we won't flee, just walk out easily. It's time we leave, we won't flee, just walk out easily. If you got no water, how you gonna survive? Roots lead you to the wellspring so you can stay alive. If you got no water, how you gonna survive? If you got no water, how you gonna survive? Soaring to some mind where the angels fall in love. Where the glory of our sin fits like a glove. Se va ne besa mi das femera be ameno. Be se na ke no be soy da seja. Se va ne besa mi das femera be ameno. Be se na ke no be soy da seja. Unraveled like twan, traveling you lose the battle and you're left behind. An open path while truth illuminates from inside. Yo, why yo, wo, wo, wo. Why you searching strange places? Times unravel like twan, traveling you lose the battle and you're left behind. Yo, why yo, 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 why yo, yo, yo. Times unravel like twine. Travel and you lose the battle and get left behind. When you strike, you left Mitzrayim. Four-fifths got left behind. Yo, ba, yo, yo, yo.
Show us that the Seder is not just for Passover. Here, with the feminine perspective, is Devorah DeLynn.
We're back to the normal schedule. Normal davening, school started, and we have to get back into the groove. I don't know about you, but personally, I always find it difficult to get back into the swing of things. Getting up early for school, no Singlet David, no Yalla V'Yavo, and we're missing a lot of the many other things that spice up the month of Tishrei. This being the case, I was thinking of discussing the importance of having an established Seder. In a place where there is order and cleanliness, there is holiness and purity. This piskam phrase clearly elucidates one of the many reasons that having an established Seder, schedule, and order of doing things is so important. Having a set Seder can really help you to organize and prioritize the things that you have to do so that you can get them done in a coherent way. Time should be allotted for Torah study, helping at home, calling relatives, household chores, etc. Our sages greatly stress the importance of setting aside time for Torah study. Though this obligation is mainly placed upon the males, women are also obligated to learn. The main difference is that women are not obligated to learn the theoretical arguments, such as the Gemara, but they are obligated to learn the practical halachot that are immediately applicable. It's not a sin for women to learn theoretical laws, it's just recommended that they learn something that they're going to need to use, such as Shulchan Aruch. So let's look at this. Laundry, cooking, cleaning the house, carpool, and now Torah study. Well, if you don't get to the Torah study part, just keep in mind that though women get great reward for learning practical laws, they do get great reward for supporting the learning of their sons and husbands. Since the women are the ones in charge of making sure that the males in the house get to the minyan on time and fulfill the men's obligation of Torah study. Through that, they can garner great reward. Seder means to have an orderly way of accomplishing tasks that must get done. Some might even translate it as having a routine. And this is where a red flag might come up. Though it's important to set aside time to daven and to learn, one must not begin to treat how you carry out the tasks as a routine. When it's time to daven, for example, one should approach the task with humility, awe, and the realization that we are talking to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe. Davening is an avoda. It's no easy thing to daven to Hashem. You know, some days are better than others, but regardless of level and piety, davening can never become routine. You need to prepare yourself anew each time you daven with tzedakah, meditation, etc. If it's done properly, davening is an adventure that changes every single time you do it, so it can never become routine. Establish a seder, an order for yourself, one that allots the appropriate amount of time for each task, making sure that there is time for limud haTorah. But don't let that seder lead you into doing your jobs in a routine way, especially concerning davening and learning. Prepare yourself each day as if facing each task from the very beginning, and then see the Kiddush and the Tahara, the holiness and purity, in a revealed way, and launch a seder created just for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the multi-talented composer, lyricist, and vocalist, the one and only A.B. Rottenberg.
Trouble with my words, they don't seem to come out clear, but I want you all to know me, so I'll try. By asking one small question, it won't take up too much time. Can you tell me, can you answer, who am I? Oh, I know I'm very different by the things I cannot do. I'd find it hard to tell you my own name. Some wonder just who am I as you try to hide your eyes. But believe me, you and I are much the same. Don't you marvel at a sunset as the rays shine through the clouds and the night begins to take over the sky? And don't you love the sound of laughter and a lively, happy tune? Oh, then we are not so different, you and I. And when you see a mighty eagle as it spreads its graceful wings, don't you wish inside your heart that you could fly? And when you hear a crash of thunder, don't you tremble out of fear? For then we are not so different, you and I. People wonder, others may say, whenever adversity passes their way, let me run, let me hide, oh, I must close my eyes. By the time that they're open, oh, it might fade away. But not you, dear friends, you know just what to do. When faced with a challenge, you always come through. And you've painted a smile on the face of a child, helping to make sure that his dreams come true. And there's a small piece of heaven in everyone's heart, a glorious gift from above. It will sparkle and shine if we each do our part, to reach out and touch it with a love.
if we each do our part, reach out and touch it with love. All it takes is one small candle, one small flickering, shining candle. That is all it takes to penetrate the dark. And all it takes is one soft word, one soft, soothing, gentle word. That is all it takes to mend a broken heart. If we put our hearts and minds together, a thousand glowing candles burning bright, and we become a force that can't be measured, and together we can drive away the night. Let's all put our
ladies and gentlemen.
Don't forget, for all your simchas, you can check me out on the web at www.musicalmosh.com.
And now for a twist, here's a Malawa Monka recipe by the J.E.'s own delicious chef, Chef Chaim Reisner. And you can find out more about his recipes at chaimskosherkitchen.com. Chaim?
Thanks, Hirsch. Continuing with our Malawa Malka specialties, tonight we're going to prepare cream of mushroom soup and French garlic bread for the soup. You'll need one Spanish onion peeled and diced, 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 4 cups of mushrooms washed and sliced thin, 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 6 tablespoons of Parve chicken soup powder, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 8 cups of water, or 4 cups of milk or non-dairy creamer mixed with 4 cups of water. To prepare, place a round heat diffuser over the flame and under the soup pot. That is to prevent the soup from burning. Heat the pot, add the oil, stir in the nutmeg, let it simmer for a few seconds, add the onions, let that simmer until the onions are glossy. Then add the flour and stir. While stirring it well, add the liquid and mix it slowly until the liquid becomes creamy. After it's nice and creamy, add the salt, the pepper, the stock. Bring it to a simmer again. Then add the mushrooms. Bring it to a simmer again. And simmer it for at least 20 minutes, partially uncovered. Remove the pot from the diffuser, and that's your soup. Now for the garlic bread. You'll need 1 or more loaves of Chez Girard French bread that can be gotten here in Squirrel Hill at the kosher store. Bake it as directed on the side of the package. You'll need 1 bulb, that's a whole head of garlic, peels removed and crushed. 1 cup of extra virgin olive oil. Slice the French bread, the baguette, the long way in half. Paint each half with the olive oil. Generously sprinkle the crushed garlic on both sides. Place the bread face up on a rack in the middle of the oven set to 425 for about 5 minutes and remove. And then you can cut that in slices, and that goes well with the soup. That's all there is to it. And guess what? You made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. See you next week with another favorite from Chaim's Kosher Kitchen.com.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, but it's a comfort to know that in your time of need, that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association, and they work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. They're so concerned about meeting those total needs that they meet with area rabbis on a regular basis. They've reduced the cost of a funeral. They have packages specifically for your synagogue in your area, and it pays to check it out because you can save quite a bit. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. And Deborah Price, the funeral home supervisor, was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and she really wanted to come back here, and she's working very, very, very hard to meet the needs of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, especially with regard to Price. Did you know that Burton Hirsch is also involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? So in your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600, and they welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600, Deborah Price, supervisor. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's artistic photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. And now, the very endearing story about the Or HaChaim. Here once again is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Reb Chaim ben Ator, who wrote the Or HaChaim commentary on the Torah, is one of the few great men of Jewish history called Kadosh, holy. He is popularly referred to as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He did not want to earn his livelihood by using his Torah knowledge, and therefore, as a youth, he learned a trade. He became an apprentice for a jeweler. The jeweler acquired a reputation as a very skilled craftsman. Small wonder that when the Sultan was planning his daughter's wedding, he summoned the jeweler to the palace and gave him a long list of things he required. He insisted that all must be ready at the appointed time. Woe to the jeweler if he failed to satisfy his royal customer. The jeweler worked diligently, but when the appointed date arrived, he saw to his horror that he had not completed the order. The Sultan was furious. No one disappointed the ruler and lived. "I want that man killed at once. Throw him into the lion's den," roared the enraged ruler. "But I am not to blame, Your Majesty," the jeweler said, bowing low. "It is the fault of my worker, the Or HaChaim. He was to see that the work was completed. He deserves to be killed, not I. He is a lazy good-for-nothing who hardly set foot into the shop. It is because of him that Your Majesty's order is not ready on time." "Very well," said the Sultan, as he believed the lies that the jeweler told him. "You are excused, but your assistant will be thrown to the lions. The lions would be starved so as to be thoroughly hungry for their prey." The Sultan gave the order. His soldiers hurried to Reb Chaim's home, surrounded it, and seized him. They expected him to protest his innocence, to weep and scream, but all he asked was that he be allowed to take some Hebrew books and his talus and tefillin. "Ha," they laughed, "do you think that you are going on a vacation, on a pleasure trip? Will you teach the animals to read and write? you will not last long enough to open up one of your precious books. Well, it makes no difference to us. What a joke, they thought, but waited the few moments that it took Reb Chaim to gather up his things. Reb Chaim strode calmly between the soldiers. They did not need to hold or restrain him. He walked confidently, gazing straight ahead. The guards tied a rope around his waist and lowered Reb Chaim over the wall and into the lion's den. Then they stood back and waited for the pitiful shriek that would rend the air. But all was quiet. They could not even hear the usual sounds that the pack of lions made as they paced back and forth. A minute passed, another minute. All was still. What was going on down there? The guards could not believe their ears. Overcome by curiosity, they leaned over the top of the pit and looked down. They could not believe their eyes. Something very strange indeed was happening. The animals had always pounced upon their victim even before he touched the ground. This time, they had not done anything. They stood very still, watching Reb Chaim. 3 days and nights passed. The guards were sure that by now the lions had devoured their victim, even if he had not cried out. And now it was time to feed them again. The guards looked over the high wall, expecting to see scattered human bones. To their amazement, the rabbi was well, even happy. There he sat, wrapped in his talis and crowned by his tefillin. There was an unearthly look on his face, like that of an angel. The biggest surprise of all was the lions. They crouched at his feet like so many pet dogs. They even seemed to be listening to the sound of his sweet voice. When the Sultan was told about this, he said, "I don't believe it. I must see this for myself." He followed the guards to the lion's den. At first, the Sultan was dumbstruck. Then he ordered the gamekeepers to lower down a rope and pull the rabbi out of the pit. When Reb Chaim stood before him, truly unharmed, the Sultan fell to his feet begging, "Forgive me, forgive me. You are a holy man, a saint. Please do not punish me." That day became a holiday for the Jews of Morocco. They celebrated year after year as the day upon which Reb Chaim was saved from the jaws of the wild beast. This is the meaning of the pasuk, the verse which we find in this week's Torah portion, where Hashem says to man, "You shall rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over all the beasts which crawl upon the earth." As long as a person retains the holy countenance that he was born with, all of the animals of the world will fear him. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we close our show this afternoon on the Shabbos Brachos, an important flu clinic will be held Sunday, October 30th, Shari Torah Synagogue, and Wednesday, November 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. The Health Fair and Blood Drive, October 30th, 8:30 to 1:30. Call Beth Shalom at 412-421-2288. The Israel Chamber Orchestra is performing at Heinz Hall. And, of course, that'll be a one-night exclusive Pittsburgh appearance, November 1st. Call Lakolo for more information at 412-420-0220. Rabbi Aidan Steinsaltz, one of the world's foremost Jewish thinkers and scholars, be in Pittsburgh, and that'll be on November 15th, Tuesday, and following the lecture, he'll be signing his book, Learning from the Tanya. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. Call Lana, 412-422-2224. And don't forget that candle lighting time this week is no later than 6:03 p.m. And as we head out this afternoon, I'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Mazlik and give a great mazel tov to Shui for helping us sponsor today's program. And I want to thank Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, and Devorah DeLynn for another outstanding show. Don't forget, until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shalom.
Shabbat.